All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Romans 16 again. When I was here week before last, I read and preached from chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. My actual text for this morning will be verse 19, but I'm going to read 17 and 18 again with it because that context is vital. Okay, it's vital. So let's look at it. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So doctrine is important. Doctrine don't save you, but when God saves you, he begins to teach you his doctrine. Amen. And we're to avoid those that teach contrary to that doctrine. Then it goes on. For they that are such, that is these people that teach these contrary things, For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, not bad words, you know, we're not talking about immoral words, good words, and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now that's the context. Paul does not then say, now let's talk. For, do you see this? For, so this directly connects the context of what he's about to say with what he's just said in 17 and 18. For, your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And it's that last phrase there is why I want to emphasize the context. Because our flesh, our minds tend to go, we hear good and evil, begin to think of what? Moral and immoral, right? Right versus wrong, correct? But the context here is not just about general immorality or general unrighteousness, but the context of this good and evil is the truth concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the context. My flesh would take me away from Christ in verse 19 and concentrate on me. But we've not left Christ yet. Now here's the title to my message, Clear and Unmixed. And I hope we'll see why I use that as the title here in a moment. Clear and Unmixed. Think about remarkable words. For your obedience. For your obedience. You see, our obedience doesn't save us. Our obedience doesn't cause God to save us. But when God saves us, we become obedient. Amen. But here's something about this word obedience. And you could see it read that way if you have an amplified Bible, or if you have one at home, or have one now for that matter. You can look it up. They use here with the word obedience, loyalty. Loyalty. Most of religion don't mind to be obedient, but they have no loyalty. Amen. When I was in religion, when I was in free will, work-centered, man-centered religion, I knew what it was to obey. I could do what they told me to do, but I wasn't loyal to it. Amen. I did it, one, out of fear of hell. Didn't want to go to hell. Yeah. Two, because I didn't want to look bad in front of everybody else. But we're talking about loyalty. For your loyalty is come abroad unto all. Now, when he says all, of course, we know that's limited. The American natives that were alive during this time didn't hear about these people's obedience or their loyalty, but it spreads amongst God's people. God's people. Obedience, loyalty. Loyalty is full devotion. Yeah. That with which we are loyal, obedient, the new man, is fully obedient. But our old man is still fully disobedient. The believer is a conundrum because the believer has two, and I'm not going to use the word natures. I don't think it's a wrong word. We are two men. We're an old man and we're a new man. And until God Almighty does something for you in grace, you're nothing but old man. But then when he gives you new man, when he creates, because the book says this new man is created, created by God in righteousness and true holiness. So it means full devotion. And I say it this way, I don't mean this boastfully. I want God to be glorified.
Amen.
God deserves to be glorified. Now, God will be glorified. But I don't want him to have to glorify himself in spite of me.
That's right.
I don't want him to have to do that. Loyalty is, I want God to be glorified. And if you're a true believer, that's what's within you in the new man. I want God to be glorified. I delight to do what honors Christ. Religion knows very little about that, if anything at all. They do what they do for reward or to miss hell or to get to heaven, but they don't do it for the honor of Christ. If I give up this and take on that, it's got to be for the honor of Christ, or it's nothing but self.
Amen. Right.
And we'll see this a little more. I pray God will see this a little more here in a moment. I delight to do what honors Christ. I hate me when me fails. I hate me when me fails. But I will not give up. That's loyalty. I will not give up in spite of myself. In spite of the fact that I fall flat on my face, there is something, and I know what that is. It's the power of God. It's the love of God that constrains me, that says, Walter, don't quit, even if you fall again. The righteous man falls how many times? As many as God lets him. But the book in the Old Testament says that we fall 7 times. You see, loyalty also is never past loyalty only. Any loyalty I knew about in religion, it was always about what I was back then. I went forward. I gave my heart to the Lord. I prayed the prayer. I joined the church. I was baptized. It was always with reference, almost always with reference to what I did back then when I was a little fellow. But loyalty is never past loyalty only. Not this loyalty. Not this loyalty. But yet I would have. Do you see those words? But yet I would have. That is both present and future tense. Now consider this. Wise unto good. This is what wise unto good. It's really quite simple. Clear. A wise man or a wise woman, even in the natural sense, means a person whose mind is clear.
Yeah.
They see things clear. Wisdom is not that old man up there with a big long beard and a pointy hat with the moon, with the stars and the moon, half moons and all that on it. It's to see things clearly. Okay? Wise unto good. In other words, we can put it this way. And I think the Amplified probably does put it just about like clear about good. That's what it is. Clear about good. You think that's simple enough, but it's not for us. Because we'll gag the gnat, we'll swallow a camel. No, won't we? And apart from the grace of God, I'd be gagging at gnats all day long and eating up camels by the dozens. That's the context. Wise unto good. Clear about good. But remember, it's gospel truth here we're talking about. Not just, now folks, don't you get me wrong. It's right and it honors Christ to pay your bills. It's right and it honors Christ to don't be stealing and cheating and lying. But if you have all of those things and you miss the truth of the gospel of Christ, you got nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Even if you give Christ the honor for all the other stuff.
Yeah.
We can't, now dare I say it, we can't be wrong about the truth and deny that. Now you may not know all the truth, we don't. We are learning. We are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But God's people, when God does something for you, he gives you a clear mind. You start to see things as they are from this book. Now, I still don't understand trigonometry at all. My regeneration and conversion didn't help me in mathematics whatsoever. But I tell you what, it made a world of difference when it come to reading this book. And hearing this book preached, it made a world of difference. I found something in me that it wasn't to me. I found something in me that actually understood. I'd read this for years. I was a preacher. All of a sudden, Ellen, it's like an oasis. I start finding Christ everywhere. When before, I thought it was just in a few, you know, isolated places. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yeah. But, you know, everywhere else, it just he's here or there. He's in the whole book. Even, listen to me, even when we have recorded, and it's in a little bit cryptic language because it's said as the words are said as to a king way back yonder during the Old Testament time. But it's clear from the context, God's talking about Satan and Satan's fall. You know, Satan, when he fell, he didn't do anything outwardly. You ever go back and read that? He didn't do anything outwardly. He said, I will. You see, our will's not our hope. Our will's our problem. It's the devil's problem, and it's my problem. I will ascend above the Most High. Well, who's he saying I'm going to take over from? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Somebody, he existed then. He is the eternal God. He's the one that spoke all of this into existence even before he was made flesh. And there were times during the Old Testament dispensation, I could say, he showed up in flesh.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose he dropped it and Ellen got round back to glory, but at times he showed up in human flesh, even in the Old Testament. But when he came into Bethlehem, he assumed human flesh forever.
Yeah.
Forever. So wise unto good. But remember, now brethren, I beg you, I implore you. Brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines that you've learned and avoid them. Why? Because they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the good. Because if I don't have some idea of this one good man and his doctrine, his gospel, his truth, all the other goodness in the world would only add to my damnation. Is it any wonder that Isaiah the prophet was moved back even in the Old Testament dispensation to cry out, even our righteousnesses are as menses cloths in God's sight. I mean, that is, Moose stood here several years ago. You remember preaching on that? He said, that's disgusting. You're daggone right, it's disgusting. But that's what it's like to God when I present myself or my deeds to God. Like presenting a menses cloth to him. But the second thing Paul mentioned, wise and the good, clear about good, simple concerning evil. Now, just the way, you, even as it's translated into the KJV, it lets you know, simple, you mean I don't know anything about evil? Simple, you don't think a simple-minded person, right? But they're not very clear, they don't understand well. That's not what he's talking about. The word here means this, unmixed. That's what I mean. Unmixed. Remember again, the context is what? Gospel perversion. Don't mix up error with lie. They don't go together. They cannot go together. Now, turn to Romans chapter 11, just a few pages back. If you're at Romans 16, turn to Romans 11. And I want to give us a passage here which deals with both. Clear and unmixed, okay? The truth of God, clear and unmixed. Romans 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? And the context, go back and read it, check and make sure I'm not pulling a Simon on you, trying to bewitch you. He's talking about Jewish people, Israelites, okay? I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am what? An Israelite. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So he's talking about naturally born Israelites, right? That's the context. Look at it. Of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, but then he qualifies it, which he foreknew.
Yeah.
You see it? Amongst these Israelites, you see? These Benjamites or Judahs or Naphtalites, all these people. But so, what do you mean, Paul? What? Ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? So this, in other words, this is no new doctrine. This is not Paul coming up with something else, okay? What? Ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, you see it? Lord, they have killed thy prophets, digged down thine altars, and I am left alone. They seek my life. And I detect a little bit of belly aching in that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why me, Lord? Why do I have to be the one going through this? I'm by myself, right? And if you ever felt by yourself, you'll belly ache just like our brother Isaiah did.
Yeah. Amen.
But you know what? We ain't never really by ourselves. One, he's with us and never leaves us and forsakes us, even though often we feel like he has. If any forsakings happened, guess who did the forsaking? Right here. Right. Lord, they've killed thy prophets, digged down thine altars. I am left alone. They seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. Who have not bowed. Now, not because they didn't bow. Paul didn't explain this for us. They weren't reserved because they didn't bow. They didn't bow because they were reserved.
Amen. That's right.
They got to get the cart and the horse in the right place here.
Yeah.
You switch that around and you're telling lies.
Yeah.
You see it? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even today, amongst the Jewish people, and they have no idea what tribe they come from. They can't. Those records were destroyed in 70 AD when Titus burnt down everything.
Yeah.
But there are still Jewish people, okay? But there is a remnant. A scrap, a piece. But oh, what a remnant it is. Because God had his love on them before the world began. And aren't you glad that he's calling out of the Gentiles a people for his name too? He could have left this just with the Jews. We didn't deserve it, did we? We didn't deserve it. Even so, then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, here's your unmixed. What we just read is clear. Verses 1 through 5, it's clear. God never intended to save every Israelite. There is a remnant. And that was true even back during the Old Testament age. And it's still true today, at this present time. But here, there's the wisdom, there's the clarity. But here's the no mixing. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Though every person God saves by grace does work. Because he ordained that we walk in them. I happen to know, by the testimony of this book, if God ordains something, it's going to happen. Now, I may not know whether it's a good work or not, but I've walked in every good work God ordained for me to walk in up to this point. The sad part is that there's a lot of works that don't honor God. But God controls them too. Peter, Satan's desired to sift you as wheat. Satan couldn't touch Peter lest God give him say so. Have you considered my servant Job, God said to the devil? He said, yeah, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, I've considered him, but you won't let me touch him. You build up a fence around him. He said, all right, touch him. Touch him. But you can only go so far. See, people somehow think that God and the devil's in this big struggle and God's trying to win. The devil's trying. The devil is on God's leash.
Amen. That's right.
Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the book says. The remainder of wrath, he'll do what? Restrain it.
Yeah.
Now, does that give me license to sin? I don't need one. I sin without a license.
Amen.
Still yet. Nobody had to print me up one to sin. I sinned when I came forth out of my mommy's womb. I probably cried to my mommy and daddy just because I was unhappy, didn't even know I was unhappy. And all they could do was stick a bottle in my mouth trying to shut me up.
Yeah.
You ever seen that baby lay there? Ain't nothing wrong with it. It ain't starving to death. You know? And it, meh, meh. That's the Adamic nature in us.
Yeah.
The reality is, as parents, we don't have to teach our kids to lie. We got to try to teach them to tell the truth. It's easy for them to lie. It is for me. It is for me. Clear and unmixed. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. But I will add this, because this is also clear and unmixed. Faith without works is dead. Amen. It's a dead faith. It's that kind of faith that Simon had. It's a dead faith. And if you look at James, it's not, okay, works. I did some soul winning. That ain't what it's about. And there's nothing wrong with witnessing to folks about the Lord. And you don't have to be a theologian to do it. The only prerequisite for you witnessing about the Lord is, has the Lord done something for you?
Amen, that's right.
Now, that's a prerequisite. If you don't, you're not a witness. But God Almighty done something for you, you can just tell people, this is what God did for me. That's what I was talking. Mac, you don't have to go through all the 5 points.
That's right.
You don't have to have all your Baptistic doctrine lined up just right. Just tell them what God did for you.
Amen.
How he opened your eyes. How he brought you to bow to Christ Jesus the Lord. And you began to see and are still seeing, learning of the glory of his person and work. I'm caught up with Jesus Christ. There's times when I'm at work, Mac, and I've got to concentrate on what I'm doing, and all of a sudden the Lord of glory pops into my mind. And in some jobs, you've got to be careful what you're thinking about. Let me tell you, if you're one of God's, he will not let you go.
Amen.
Now, he may let you fall all the way down, but he still won't let you go. There's clear and unmixed. Now, here are a few passages that are clear. Turn to Isaiah. That's an Old Testament, if that helps you. Isaiah 42. Now, this is important because this is kind of the starting point. Or one of the starting points. Let me put it that way. It may be better. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Now, listen. There are thousands, there are myriads, a number which no man can number of every white tribe, kindred, tongue, and people that God Almighty chose in Christ before the world began. And he chose them totally apart from any good or evil in themselves. Thus saith the book.
Amen. Right.
But this man is the only one that was ever chosen because of who he was. He deserved to be chosen. He's the eternally. It's not like all of a sudden God says, I'll choose him. He's always been the elect. Behold my servant, upon whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And that ain't talking, folks, about damnation. That ain't talking about hell. That ain't talking about the great white throne. It's talking about this elect one's going to do something for the Gentiles.
Amen.
He's going to make a determination. That's what a judgment is, right? He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And then some of these folks tell us, well, the Old Testament knew nothing about this Gentile being saved. It's all over the place.
Yeah, sure is.
Abraham was told, I'll make you a father of many nations.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, how steeped I was in that kind of stuff years ago. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. What's that mean? He's not trying to force the matter. He just came forth and what? Preached the matter. He didn't get out there and argue. People come to him and want to argue. He just kept pointing them to the truth. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Pointing them to the truth. Good master or master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. No, help your brother out. You know what Christ told him? He didn't say, well, let's go talk to him. Let's get this straight. He says, beware of covetousness. That just puts you right down in the dirt, don't it? Huh? Down the dirt. One woman came to him begging him, Lord, have mercy upon me, and not even for her own malady, but for her small daughter's malady.
Amen.
And at first, he just totally ignored her. What do we do by nature? Well, if he's going to treat me that way. Why, she had a need. She had an itch that only God could scratch. She kept after him. So much so that the disciples finally said, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. Well, she wasn't bothering them. She wasn't crying out to them. She cried out to the Lord. And he turned to her and said, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. That's an insult. It's an insult. But it was true.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem. It was true. Now, I'll go back home, bury my daughter when she dies. Mm-mm. Something was different in this woman, Max. She couldn't let go.
That's right. Amen.
No matter how Christ treated her. I'll put it just that way. Because what? God always tests true faith. He'll put it to the test. He said, it's not meat for me to take the children's bread, give it to the dogs. And you know what she says? Truth, Lord. But think of the clarity now. Think of the clarity and the unmixing. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You're right, I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. I'm your dog. Oh, woman, great. I don't know what all she understood about Calvary itself. Jack, I don't, but she knew she needed Christ. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Oh, well, I'm not even finished with the passage yet. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. There you go. You see it? What made people so mad? Not so much what he did, but it's what he said. Almost every time when they got mad at him because of something he did, it's always connected to something he said.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now here it is. Here is this chosen man. He shall not fail. Now I'm not going to read any more. The rest of it's all true. But here is clear and unmixed. He, whoever this one is, the Messiah, when he comes, he shall not fail. If your doctrine doesn't match that, you don't have the elect one.
Amen.
You don't have the Messiah. You don't have the Christ of God. Jesus never tried to do anything.
That's right.
Never. He never tried to do anything. I mean, at demoniac in the synagogue, he attended synagogue, evidently attended synagogue for years, and nobody called it. But when Christ came along, what happened? All of a sudden, the demon that was in that man and that man himself says, depart from us.
Yeah.
Now, he's telling Christ to leave. Christ refuses. And he commands the demon to come out of him. Hmm?
Yeah.
He didn't ask the demon to come out of him. He didn't ask the man, let me bring the demon out. He just commanded it to be done.
Amen. That's right.
Now there are certain things and certain commands that are given in Scripture that are given directly and only as a command. Here's what you must do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these in the Bible. Here's what you must do. But there are some commands in the Scripture that God Almighty gives with the command. He gives the ability to obey, to be loyal to the command. Woman, or man, withered, all crippled up. Stretch forth thy hand. Well, that's the one thing he couldn't do. Jump up and down, he could do that. Stretch forth. How's he going to do that? With the command came the power. Lazarus, come forth. That's the one thing he couldn't do. He could stink, he could rot, but he couldn't come forth. Unless when Christ says come forth, he gives the ability with the command.
Amen.
Take up your bed and walk. That's the one thing he couldn't do. They had to carry him in on his bed and let him down through the ceiling. Take up your bed and walk. Our Lord never tried to do anything. Mm-mm. I remember a preacher preached for us here several years ago. He's telling us about reading this, you know, one of the things in a newspaper or magazine. It was on a Sunday, and it was the religious section of the newspaper, I believe it was. And he said, this preacher's talking about God wants you to do this. God wants to do that for you. God, he said, it's the most wantonest God I ever heard of in my life. God don't want anything. He says, I do all my pleasure. I'll even call a ravenous bird from the east and he'll make him execute my counsel. Here's another thing. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now here's another thought. Think of it. God's Christ is no failure. ever. He said, I come to do the Father's will. Does my doctrine match that of who he is or not? Some people's doctrine don't match that. They say he came to do the will of God, but man wouldn't let him. No. No. Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And they fell down backwards.
Yeah.
The only reason they could take him is because he let them do it.
Yeah.
And he was bold enough to say, if you take me, you got to let these go.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Why? Because he has the power to back up his words.
Yeah.
And his actions. I don't. You see a horde of people coming with sticks and swords and knives. And I say, well, if y'all want me, you take me. But now my buddies here, you can't touch them. Well, they take us all. They take us all. But not if you're the Lord's Christ. Because he shall not fail. All right, now, John chapter 10. Think about this. God's Christ assumed responsibility for somebody. Look at it, John 10. Simple enough. Clear enough. Unmixed. Verse 16. And other sheep I have. So there's two different groups of sheep. He talks about one group here before. There's other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Do you see that? Them also I must bring.
Amen.
You see it?
That's right.
He took the responsibility on himself. He didn't say they must come, though come they must. But you'll never come until he brings you. Brings you. Somebody says, you mean kicking and screaming? Yeah, kicking and screaming for joy. Because
yeah.
Once you realize he's got his hand around your neck to arrest you by his powerful sovereign grace, you'll be glad it's so.
Yeah.
And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's pretty clear. Pretty unmixed too, isn't it? There's no need to be confused about that. I don't know that anybody's really confused about it. I'm sure. Now I know I was brainwashed when I was young. Sunday school's brainwashed me just exactly the way they wanted me reared up. They brainwashed me. But I know when I read that, I could read the words. My problem was I didn't love it. I didn't see my need for it. But once he made me to see I need him to bring me, I was glad. I say, I like that. I like that. Here's a third thing. Turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. All right, remember, God's Christ is no failure. God's Christ assumed responsibility for somebody. God's Christ, now listen to me, God's Christ wrought real reconciliation at Calvary. He wrought it. He secured it.
Amen.
He guaranteed it. And he did so at Calvary. Not at the front of the church. Not when you even came to repent and believe the truth. He reconciled. If you were reconciled, you were reconciled when Christ died on that tree, or you'll never be reconciled at all. Now, clear and unmixed, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for the sake of time. For when we were yet without strength, so how much strength did we have? Goose egg.
Right.
Zero.
Amen.
Nada. We weren't just weak, we had no strength. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for. Now, so everybody, people want to argue, who did Christ die for? Right here it is. Christ died for who? The ungodly. Now, if you can't take your place with the ungodly, then you've got no reason to believe Christ died for you. Yes or no? Is that clear? Is that simple enough? Is that unmixed enough? I'm not trying to trick you into believing something. I want you to see what this book says and believe the record God gave of his son. Look, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man. Now that is men amongst men. This is not men compared to God. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Can you take your place with the ungodly sinners? I can. Again. Christ died for it. Now look at it. Much more than. Is this clear? It's unmixed. Much more than being now justified by his blood. How many times did he shed his blood? Hebrews says once. Once for all forever. That means once for all time and forever. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But just so we don't misunderstand, we need clarity in this matter. Somebody said, let's go out here and argue the Arminians into Calvinists. That ain't going to do them no good. It ain't going to do them no good. Now, I'd rather be a Calvinist than an Arminian any day of the week, but it ain't going to do no good. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, he's going to splanify this, or splanify, is that what Art Bruce Newman Swanter used to say? I'm going to splanify this. For if when we were, what? Enemies. Enemies. Not a believer, not a friend of God. For if when we were, when, this is the time. Clear, unmixed. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Amen. Right.
And when God finally conquered my heart and mind and caused me to just bow down to what the book says, I was like, and even now, when my mind is turned from the truth of this book, it's like I find myself holding my breath in shame and guilt, fear. But when God rips that all away, then I say, here's a few passages which demand, think of it, Titus chapter 3, which demand no mixing. No mixing. Now, folks, there's a whole lot more to this clarity. I've just scratched the surface of it. But look at it. Titus chapter 3. Is that what I said? Yeah, Titus chapter 3. Well, think about this. See me. See you here. Venture your soul upon this. See yourself here. Oh, God, make this be me. Look at it. See me. See you here as unmixed in our salvation. Verse 1 of chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject unto principalities of powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work. So anybody accuses, well, you're preaching works. I got to preach works, but I don't preach works for salvation.
Amen, that's right.
But I do preach works because of salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
And let me tell you something. Your works can't save you, but your works condemn you. Now go figure that one out.
Amen.
That's a good one. Your works can't save you, but your works can still sure damn you. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various or divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, even righteous works. See, even righteous works. It's unmixed. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's what God does. And by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's what God does. So it's God's work. Right? There's being simple, clear concerning the good. God must do it all. And if he don't work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure, I won't be subject to principalities and powers either. I'll kick up my heels. I'm a free, autonomous individual. How dare Joe Biden say, I got to do this or I got to do that? Joe Biden is in God's hands, folks. He put him there. God put him there. God put him there.
That's right.
Even if Trump don't like it. And I don't like it. But God put him there.
Yeah.
All right, enough for my political stance. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost which he shed on us. How? Abundantly. This ain't just, okay, have a little nibble. He shed. It's not an offer. He shed.
Amen.
On us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then that preacher preached my granny's funeral, said, God don't make any man do anything. He's a gentleman. Well, I hope he's one of them. I hope he comes and just rocks my world. I hope he forces me to go against my will and bow to his will. Look. Now, having established that, that's clear and unmixed, is it not? Look, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, you see it, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But there it is. It don't take a whole lot of explaining for that, does it? What it takes is the power of God to bow me down to it. There's another one, Ephesians chapter 2. We're almost to the end. I know you're probably getting hungry, and I know I'm getting hungry. That's one of the toughest things, is to preach when you're starting to feel hungry and smell the food right in the other room. Shame on y'all for doing that to me. See me now. See you as unmixed in our efforts, our works. Look at it, Ephesians. You know it, Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our way of life in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature we hated God just like everybody else. That's what they mean. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The elect are no different than everybody else. Somebody said, well, God looked into the future. That's why he chose you, because he's seen what you would do. Had he not given me the ability to do it, I'd have never done it. That's what Paul said. Amen. Take money out of another man's account and then give it back to him and expect you've done something good. Everything we got, we have by God Almighty. The breath I have in my lungs. The food that I get to eat, my health, if I have any. And you think God don't care more about my soul than he does about my body? If he does it, that's not much love, is it? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, not by Christ, but how? With Christ. So when he was raised, in God's sight, we were raised too. Still just dead as a hammer, but still raised with him. And then every time I read this, I hope I never forget it. I remember Earl saying this years ago, and Paul just couldn't stand it anymore. By grace, you're saved. By grace, you're saved. Most people want to get to the faith part first. No, he ain't even got the faith yet. We're dead in sins. You see it? We ain't even got the repentance of faith yet. But he quickened us with Christ. That's, to me, that's clear and unmixed. Is it not? Clear and unmixed. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, if he quickened you and he went to glory for you, he going to give you faith. Yeah, that's what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And in the Greek, the neuter of this thing means that the salvation is the gift of God, the faith is the gift of God, and the grace is all the gift of God.
Amen.
It's all a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created, see it? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I thank God that I could see myself there. and I have no boast in it. I can't brag about it. Ellen, I can't brag about it. God did it all. God did it all. Am I clear about good? Gospel good now. Remember, that's what we're talking about. It's not the black and whites of this world. You know, and I don't mean black and white people. I don't, good deeds, bad deeds. No, this is talk about good concerning the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Don't lie about him. Don't lie about him.
Amen.
People that lie about him, avoid them.
Yeah.
They're not his servants. They're serving their own belly. Gospel truth. Think of it. Do I refuse to mix my evil, my efforts, no matter how good they might be?
Yeah.
Do I refuse to mix evil with God's free grace? I say it one more time, that even our righteousnesses, it's not a play on words. Isaiah is being real. My best efforts are menses cloths in God's sight. So in closing, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience, your loyalty is come abroad unto all, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, clear unto that which is good, clear about the gospel, and simple, unmixed about that which is evil. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. But Lord, thank you for your spirit that enables us and gives us a desire to hear your word and believe your word and rest upon your word. Force us to Christ. Force us to Christ. Lord, we thank you for this whole group of people here, everyone that's here today and those that may be listening live stream, maybe even those who may hear these messages even later on. Lord, be with them. Show them grace and mercy in Christ. Thank you for the food that we have, and may we enjoy it. In Christ's name, amen.